So we are going to start a new series. I wanted to finish up on tithing, but did not realize that I wasn't thinking about the 11th and that I wouldn't have the week for the 5 weeks series. I would have started this next week, but it's important that it happens today. The Gifts of Christmas is the series. It's a 5 week series. It'll end on Christmas morning. And the message today is entitled, The Gift of Hope. The Gift of Hope. A Charlie Brown Christmas. I'm sure you've seen the classic. It's a TV special classic, Charlie Brown Christmas. I found out as I was studying that it's as old as I am. It came out in 1965. That's the year that I was born. So Charlie Brown and I, at least at Christmas time, share the same birthday, right? Actually, Charlie's a lot older than that because he had been doing much in the Peanuts comic strip for years before that. But think about it. That's a pretty good run. Kim and I were watching last night or the night before, there'll be a new year without a Santa Claus. Santa Claus is coming to town, and I love those little stop animations. I can't get enough of them. Rudolph is my favorite, and if I know they're on TV, it's like the World Cup. Is it World Cup? What is it? World Series? What is it? Thanks, World Cup. It's like the World Cup. Mike's going to be glued to the TV for the next weeks or whatever the case is. When there's a Christmas show on that has stop animation, clay animation, guess what? Pastor's glued to the screen or at least recording it. And I probably own it on DVD, but you know how it goes. Who pulls them out anymore? So that's a pretty good run. But I don't know if you know this. Did you know that it was basically a last-minute thought? It was a last-minute production. It was a last-minute presentation. And it came about this way. A very big company in our country, a very woke company in our country, Coca-Cola, came up with an idea that they wanted to make some commercials for Christmas time. And so how better to do it than to find a show that they could support and put their commercials into? And so they were looking at a big way to do this and a big way to make a presence on TV at Christmas time. And so they began to search around. And they saw that the Peanuts comic strip was doing very well for a lot of years. And so they sat down with Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, and asked him if he would consider doing something special with Charlie Brown for Christmas. Charles Schulz sat down with them, with all the people at Coke, and he threw together an outline. In a day, they threw together an outline for this animation that would appear at Christmas time in 1965, and all the Coke executives went for it. However, Schulz had some unorthodox ideas about a Charlie Brown Christmas. He wanted to use a jazz soundtrack in it instead of the other music. He wanted no laugh track. Now, if you know anything about TV shows, the laugh tracks are important. Those aren't people laughing at the TV show, I want you to know that, unless it's a live audience. There aren't many shown in a live audience anymore. There are a few, but not many. It's a laugh track. People gather in a studio and laugh their hearts out. They record it and they add it to the funny sections of the TV show. And so he didn't want that, no laugh track. And most of all, he was very adamant about this, made Coke fidget a little bit. Today, they probably wouldn't go for it, but I think they're a little locked into it anymore with Charlie Brown. But anyway, he said that he wanted the true Christmas story to be presented, complete with a scene being read from the Bible. Coca-Cola threw up some things about that. We don't know if we can do that on TV at this time. It became very controversial to have Bible on national TV at that time, but Schulz insisted on it, and controversial or not, you can see that the show has done very well every year that it's seen. And I'm sure that some of us have seen it a time or two. So if you know that Charlie Brown is surrounded by all the trappings of Christmas, and all of those things come up empty, they come up without meaning, they come up without fulfillment, and Charlie's, good grief, you know? And the question is, do you ever feel like Charlie Brown at Christmas time? You know, let's be honest. In the midst of the Christmas decorations, in the midst of the Christmas fervor and everything going on around, you know, and having Christmas up since Halloween. This year it was up before Halloween, and the Christmas song stuck in your head. And I got in my car the other day, and it's playing Christmas music. And I'm like, who turned Christmas music on? My wife said, well, I did. I'm like, okay, but I don't listen to Christmas music till the day after Thanksgiving. I mean, you got to keep things in priority, right? And so, you know, I love it. Don't get me wrong. But from the day after Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Day, that's all that will play in my car throughout. And there's a reason why I need Christmas music in my car. So that I need Christmas stuck in my head as I go about and do what I do. But you got the music, you got the lights, you got the shopping, you got the cookies. And I think some of us just from time to time just want to stand up and shout, you know, in the exasperation of Charlie Brown, good grief, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Now, when he wonders about this, when Charlie Brown asks that question, his best friend Linus sets him straight with a clear answer, and this is what Charles Schulz wanted. Straight from Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 8 to 14, Linus recites the passage in one of the most important scenes in television history. Luke 2, and that's the verses we're going to look at today, verses 8 to 14. Now there were, in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, other angels, thousands of angels in the sky, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And in our TV show that's 57 years old, in those very words, Charlie Brown finds his hope. Charlie Brown finds his reason for the season. It's where the whole Christmas experience turns for him, and good old Chuck realizes the true meaning of Christmas. He goes from depressed by the season to inspired by the season. He goes from an inward focus of questioning to an outward focus of sharing the season with others. Even that poor little tree that they yank out of the ground, that twig that they yank out of the ground, Charlie shares it with others. And so I said all of that to say this, church. Today, the goal of my message and the goal of these messages coming up in the next 4 weeks, 6 weeks basically, it's 5 weeks, but 6 weeks with our Christmas concert, is to invite you to hear the same words of hope as we enter the season of Advent, a word that I don't usually use, but I want to use it today because I want to bring some meaning to it, in expectation for Christmas. Over the next month, over the next 6 weeks, 5 weeks speaking the messages, I will unwrap the gifts of Christmas as we journey through what Jesus did for us by coming and being born on this earth. And I want to share with you this thought of Advent, this thought of this Advent season. It's our chance to listen to the stories, amen? It's our chance to remember the true meaning of Christmas, every Christmas. To wait in expectation for the arrival of Jesus Christ, our Savior, as a baby, but more so as a Jesus that's returning to take his church home very soon. We're living in the end days. I don't know if you know that or not. You don't need to know much. I mean, our administration right now is bent on making digital money the only money. Don't be surprised if overnight this happens at some point, and you're stuck with a wad of cash that you can't do anything with. And that's all part of the mark of the beast. That's all part of this plan that is going to be put into effect. And it's coming very, very quickly. And people will say, "Well, no, that can't happen. We heard about that before." Listen, it's happening, and it's coming faster than we know it. Things are in motion that we don't understand. The point is not to get rid of the trappings. The point is not to get rid of the traditions of Christmas. The point is not to say, "Hey, don't do this at Christmas. Don't do that." Or, you know, but the point is in those celebrations, in those family traditions, to take a purposeful journey through them more and more, to deeply experience these gifts of Christmas. And they are these. These are the four things we'll be looking at, and the fifth will be Christmas morning. We're going to look at hope today, love, peace, and joy. Amen? So let's talk about Advent, because in this church we don't mention the word Advent. We don't use it. And for some, maybe the concept of Advent is new. Now, 98% of our church has come from the Catholic Church, so Advent would be very familiar to you. But if you grew up in a Pentecostal church or in a church that doesn't use those terms, then you may not know what Advent is. It is not a term that we would use very much in these church realms. It's not bad at all. It's actually very positive. It actually means something very great. It's just what happened when Luther brought his Reformation to the church. There were some churches that said, "Okay, we get it, but we still want to stick to the liturgical side. We still want to stick to the tradition. We still want to stick to some of the religiosity." And they would be the Catholics, the Episcopalians, and some other churches that would keep to those things, those rituals. Nothing wrong with it. And so maybe the only way that you may know Advent is from a calendar. My mom used to get them when we were kids. And, you know, they sold them for so long in the stores, by the time you opened them, the candy was white. You know what I'm talking about? It was supposed to be chocolate, you know? We still ate it. We didn't care. Who cares about white chocolate, right? And they came out with a white chocolate anyway, so it must be very similar to old chocolate, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, we ate them. But it was pretty cool. You know, you had a countdown, right? On December 1st, you opened the little window and there was a little cat. And December 2nd, and so each day you got to look forward to that little piece of chocolate or whatever it was. Some of them have little toys in them. The Advent calendars, we get that. But Advent is so much more, church. There's such a great meaning to it that I do want to share it today. The word Advent means coming or arrival. It is an expectation. And so the Advent season is a season marked by expectation. It's a season marked by waiting. It's a season marked by anticipation. And it's a season that's marked by longing. There's a longing in our hearts for what this season means. There's a longing in our hearts for Christmas. Now, we know that December 25th is not Jesus' birthday. We get that. His birthday was probably March or April because we hear that the shepherds were out in the fields. If they were out in the fields, it was the time when the sheep were out doing their thing to have babies. And so it was a time that, that springtime, it was new life. But we don't know that. We don't even know the year. It could be 2 years given either way. We know because Herod makes sure that he kills children up to a certain age to make sure that he gets the Christ child that was born. Though we thank God that he took care of his son and Herod was not able to kill him. But so it doesn't hurt to celebrate, is what I'm saying. December 25th, if that's the day we point to celebrate, then let's celebrate it, all right? It's the birth of Jesus. Let's not get into it probably wasn't that day. Okay, who cares, all right? We celebrate it anyway. It's still an important date to us. But the word Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It is a season that links the past, the present, and the future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth, and to be alert for his second coming. Jesus is coming. Advent looks back upon Christ's coming in celebration, while at the same time looking forward in eager anticipation to the coming of Christ's kingdom when he returns for his people. So Advent is past, Advent is present, Advent is future. Amen? It looks to hope. It's a hope fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It's a hope that's still to be completed in Jesus' second coming. And so during Advent, we wait for both. And we're active that we are assured, and we are assured in the waiting process. So Advent is a powerful season. Bless you. Advent is a very powerful season. As part of the church calendar in many denominations, there are some differences in the way people celebrate Advent. While the core is the same, some of the traditions and practices vary. One of the common traditions of Advent is the lighting of the candles on the Advent wreath. And next week, we will have an Advent wreath here. And though we should light a candle today, we're going to go with the calendar, which would say it would be the 4 weeks before Christmas. So we will light that candle. Even though I won't speak a message on one of those days, we will still light that second candle, so you understand that, okay? We will follow the Advent candles, the wreath here at the church. The circular evergreen wreath represents God's unending love for us. You know, I tell couples when they get married that the rings symbolize unending vows, unending love for one another that can only be broken in sight of God. That's what God says. And so this wreath that we'll have here with the candles will represent the eternal love of God, that God never falls out of love with us, that even when we're broken, even when we're failures, even when things don't go right in our life, you know who still loves us? God loves us. Maybe nobody else loves you, and we've all been there, but God loves us and cares for us and wants us to come back to him. The lighting of the five candles throughout the season, one for each of the four Sundays before, and then on Christmas Eve, we're going to do a Christmas Day, represents Jesus coming to a lost and dying world, a world in darkness. He is the light of the world. And so that's what those candles will represent. We find this over in the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 9:2, we read this. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. That light is Jesus. How many know we were all walking in darkness? You can put your hand up. It's okay to admit I was in darkness, right? We were sinful. We were rebellious. We were lost in pride and arrogance. We were all kinds of things, right? Lost in darkness. Well, this candles that we will be lighting, and that's why we do a candle lighting service on Christmas Eve. Now, I do need to announce this. We will not have Christmas Eve service for the next 2 years, okay? This year will be Saturday night. I'm not going to force people to pick between a service. I would rather people be here Sunday morning for Christmas. And then the following year, Christmas Eve will be on a Sunday. I'd still rather have us on a Sunday morning rather than bring us back for a Sunday night. So just know that we're not doing away with Christmas Eve. It just so happens the way Christmas falls that I just don't want to make people, oh, what service do I go to? You know, I won't go there. But anyway, let's just move on. As we celebrate with our own Advent wreath this season, we will light an additional candle each week. Each flame brings us closer to the arrival of the true light of the world, or brings us closer to Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem. That's Advent. Amen. Now, Advent takes on a much deeper meaning to Israel. Okay, because think about this. They were waiting for their Messiah. He had been promised hundreds of years before. Actually, thousands of years, if you look at some of the scriptures in the Bible that were prophetic, that they didn't understand what it meant. But think about that. And so think about this in our season of Christmas. We're in a season right now, if you don't know it, it's coming up really quickly, of frenzied busyness. I mean, we're going to run around, buy this, buy that, go around and be a part of this. We're still working. Congratulations to Eileen. She retired. Congratulations, sister. I am so jealous. Not that I want to retire from here. I'm hoping you guys put me in a casket as your pastor. But you know, whatever the case, where we go to see Jesus together, amen. But man, fantastic! That's a great thing. Praise God to be able to do that and to be able to move on in life is a great thing. But the busyness of the season and the busyness of life, and you know, and so we want to take the opportunity in that busyness to prepare our hearts and to help us focus on a far greater story than our own, the story of God's redeeming love for the world, that God so loved the world that he sent his son, Christmas morning, sent his son to leave all of that he had as God, still fully God, come and be born in frail flesh so that 33 years on this earth he would live and then give that flesh, die for each and every one of us and feel the pain of crucifixion and the pain of hatred and the pain of sin and brokenness put upon his body so that he would resurrect from the dead 3 days later so that we could know eternal life, so that we could know the joy that Keith is going to discover in his life today because of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen? That's all of us. And so, God's redeeming love. It's not a season of pretending. It's not a season of covering over, sweeping up to this point. God kind of swept the sin under the carpet, right? Because there was no blood to cover it. They sacrificed animals. I'm so far off my nose. I don't know how we're going to finish today. They sacrificed animals, and they covered that blood of the animals, covered their sin, it swept it under the carpet. But then Jesus came, the perfect lamb, gave his blood, and finally it was dealt with. It was done with. We don't have to cover over. It is a season of digging deep into the reality of what it means that God sent his son into the world. That's what we want to look at these next 5 weeks. It is a season of expectation. It is a season of preparation, an opportunity to align ourselves with God's presence. It is more than just the hectic presence, the hectic decorations, and those things. Though they do bring joy to our hearts, Christmas is so much more than that. And too many believers go through the season missing out on what really is important. So wherever you are on your spiritual journey, I invite you into this season. I invite you into these five messages entitled The Gifts of Christmas. I want you to be a part of them. Don't miss them. Be a part of whatever you can be and know that God is going to speak to our hearts, because Advent is not a celebration that God comes to fix, fix things, from broken computers to broken families to broken and hurting lives. He does that, but that's not what Advent is. Simply, Advent is a celebration that God comes. Amen. That he is here, Emmanuel, God with us. He comes into the darkness. He comes into the pain. He comes into the chaos. He comes and he makes a way. Praise God. So as we unwrap these gifts of Christmas each and every week, my hope is that we would discover together what these things mean to us, what strength they bring to our lives, and how we can trust in Emmanuel, which means God with us, God in us. Because he is bigger than our greatest expectations. He is bigger than our deepest pains. And his light shines in the darkness and bids us to draw near. And as we do draw near to him, guess what we're going to do? We are going to discover and realize the gifts that he brings. But more than anything else, you know what we're going to discover? We're going to discover him. And so that's what this is. This is an Advent journey over the next few weeks till we come up to Christmas morning and find the greatest gift of all, and that gift we know to be our Messiah, Jesus Christ. So the first Sunday in Advent, which will be next week if I have it right, it should be, today for us, we're going to look at hope. Hope. So let's start by looking by what we mean by hope. Think about what statements you normally hear people say or speak about when they talk about hope, it involves hope. I hope it doesn't rain today. I hope I get the job. I hope the world will be at peace this Christmas season. Well, Russia already destroyed that, so don't even worry about that. I hope he gets better. I hope she shows up. I hope the cookies were better than they were last year. I hope, and you can fill in the blank, what are you hoping for? What are the hopes of your life? Think about it. But what do we hear there? Think about those things. What are we hearing in every one of those statements? Do you notice a theme? There's a theme in the way we hope. The theme is this: worldly hope is characterized by doubt. Worldly hope is characterized by uncertainty, and it's characterized by a lack of control. Why do we hope that she shows up on time? Because there's no way that we can make her show up on time. We've invited her for a reason, dinner, whatever it is. I hope she makes it, because she's an Albert and she's never on time. I don't know. Okay? So it's characterized by doubt, uncertainty, lack of control. I hope the world will be at peace. I hope he gets better. We have no control over these things, but we hope. We hope for things that may or may not happen. But praise God in Jesus, listen to me, praise God in Jesus, hope is a guarantee. Amen? When we hope in God, it's not like the hope of the world. When we hope in God, guess what? God comes through. God's on time, not our time, his time, because his time is perfect, ours is not, right? Okay? When we hope on God, he's God. He says, I swear by my own name. Man, nobody else should swear by God, but God can swear by his own name because he knows what it means to be God. And so he says, when I do these things, I mean yes and amen. They will come about. And so praise God, hope is a guarantee. Hope is a sure thing. Our hope is actually a no-so rather than a maybe-so. The hope of the world says, maybe this will happen, I hope. Maybe this will happen. Maybe this will fall into place. When we hope in God, it's a sure thing. It's going to happen. And so what I want to do this morning is unwrap this gift of hope by looking at hope past, hope present, and hope future, or future hope, as we journey toward Christmas. So let's look at these three things. I don't need a lot of time today. Hope past. What is the longest you've waited for something? Think about it. What is the longest you've waited for something? Is there anything you've been waiting for your entire life? I'll never forget, and I can't remember who it was, so I can't be speaking about somebody because I can't remember who it was, but my brother was going with a girl, and we were at Christmas time, and Christmas time was was the place in the Albert family where a lot of what's the word when you propose, where a lot of proposals take place. And so we have this on video. My brother had a girlfriend, I forget who it was, it doesn't matter who it is. He didn't marry her, but anyway, we're all opening our gifts, and you could just see, he places this gift in her lap, and you could just see the anticipation of, this could be it, and it wasn't. And so, it's a funny video to watch, but anyway, yeah, I'm not making fun of somebody, it's just, it was a funny thing. I mean, it just seemed like, this would be it, and it wasn't. But that's because David had to wait for Ashley anyway. God had a plan, amen. God knows who we're supposed to be with. But what's the longest you wait? Think about it, because I want you to think of the nation of Israel. The people of Israel knew all about waiting. Their entire history was marked by waiting as they looked forward to the coming of their Messiah, the one who would lead them, they thought, from the rule that was over them, the one who would make everything right in their life, in their government, in their country. See, they had it all wrong. They didn't understand he was coming as a spiritual Messiah. He was coming to take their lives and make it something better spiritually for eternity, not just for now living on the earth. They missed it, and that's why they missed him. But they were waiting for this Messiah who would set them free. And the Old Testament is full of prophecies about the Messiah. Isaiah 7:14 is one example. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. So there's going to be a virgin that's going to come into the nation of Israel. She's going to be pregnant somehow. We don't understand. And she's going to give birth to a son, and he's going to be the Messiah. Right? So they're waiting. They're waiting for this to happen. They're in anticipation, hundreds, thousands of years if they understand the old prophecies. If not, it's hundreds of years, 400, 500 years waiting for this prophecy to be fulfilled. And then another well-known prophecy from Isaiah. Isaiah 9:6, God bless you. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's a whole Christmas series based on those words, probably from about 2 years ago if you want to go find them online. And so all these prophecies, now Isaiah is not the only one to prophesy about him. There are many others, but all of these prophecies give clear expectation of God's promised Messiah, hundreds of years before the arrival of the Messiah. See, the promise didn't always make the waiting easy, did it? Somebody says something to you, they say, hey, I'm going to do this for you. And it goes on, 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 and it goes on. I'm looking at my buddy, he knows what I'm talking about. Just joking with Tony. But you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't help the waiting. The promise doesn't always help the waiting. We still trust the person. We still believe that they're going to do these things, but it doesn't help the waiting. And this is where Israel was. It doesn't make the waiting easy. As we prepare for Jesus' coming this Christmas, okay? The past, we understand we're going to celebrate his birth in the flesh. The present, we're anticipating Jesus to show up today. We're anticipating, and I hope you came today with the anticipation that Jesus is going to show up where we are. And you know what he did? He used our sister Maria in one of the very gifts that we've been studying and talking about to bring a word of knowledge to somebody's life to say, whoa, that was for me. Okay, I got to listen to what God is saying. Jesus showed up today. And we're waiting for Jesus to come back. And I don't know about you, but the more things get expensive, and the more I see this world hurtling toward war, and the more I see the things that are happening around us, and the deceit of mankind, and the lies and things that are being sown into our world, and in countries all over the world, the more I'm ready to say, Jesus, come quickly. Man, I want to go to heaven. I'm tired of this place. Take me to heaven, Jesus. Calgon, take me away. Jesus, take me away. Amen? Praise God. And so we share in the waiting of Israel. Like them, most of us have situations. Most of us have circumstances in our own lives that make it difficult for us to wait on God. Yeah, but Pastor, I need it now. Yeah, but you know, this I've been waiting for this for years. I'm getting older. This is happening. I don't know how I'm going to meet this bill. I don't know how I'm going to pay for that. I need it now. And so there's a difficulty in waiting on God. And like them, we still wait for the complete fulfillment of God's salvation for the world. How many know God's not finished with salvation? How many know Keith is just another step towards that, because God says that God wants everybody to be saved. Now, we know that's not going to happen. And we know that the Bible says that hell is actually expanding every day because of the amount of people that won't receive Jesus. But there's a party in heaven today. If nobody else in any other church is accepting Jesus, there's still a party in heaven today because of one life that said, I want Jesus in my life. That's God's will. Yes, many prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus' day and in his coming, but there are so many that need to be completed before he comes again. But can I tell you this? Start marking them off, because it's happening very quickly. Larry Norman, very long ago in the 70s, had a song, if you're truly wise, you'll keep your eyes on Palestine. You'll keep your eyes on the Middle East, because that is our barometer of Jesus' return. And I want to tell you, if you're keeping your eyes, the barometer is going very high and saying very, very soon. All right? So what can purposeful waiting this Advent season do for us? Well, as we look back on hope past, we gain confidence and we begin to renew our faith in the promises that God has made to us. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we hope for something in faith, and we believe that we're going to get it, even though we can't see how it's going to happen, even though we can't understand how it may happen. We know that it's going to happen because we have faith in God. So there's a hope tied in with faith. We can find confidence, the Bible says, in the fulfillment of Christ's arrival. In the fact that he showed up as a baby, those were the promises of 400 years ago, thousands of years if you look at the other Bible, if you look at the Old Testament, look at some of those things that were prophecy of him. I mean, go back to the very beginning of man. Go back to the first sin. Go back to Adam and Eve. And God says to the serpent, you shall bruise the woman's seed heel, but his heel shall bruise your head. That was a prophecy at the time that Adam and Eve fell to Jesus Christ coming and giving his life. Satan bruised his heel. He's got marks upon his body, but how many know Jesus stepped on Satan's head and defeated him and finished him? Amen? So from the very beginning of man, the promise of the Messiah was given. So think about that. And so we find confidence in him coming. We find confidence in what he has done for others' lives. We find confidence in testimonies. And this is why every once in a while we give you a chance to share testimony, to share what God has done, to share what God is doing, so that you can edify and build up the church. And other people are sitting and saying, wait a minute, I'm going through that very thing right now. If God can do it for her, if God can do it for him, God can do it for me. But we can also find assurance that there is much more to come. Jesus is coming back, and things are still happening, and God is still at work, that God will complete his good work in me and you. Amen? There's scripture that says that. and that he will fulfill his promise to make all things new, and he will make things all complete in the end. Praise God. Let this season be a journey of building confident hope up as you wait for his coming. Praise God. Hope present. Let's move to hope present. In the first chapter of Luke, we see Jesus' birth foretold again. But unlike the Old Testament prophecies, this is a much more personal, and it has feeling that really means something to what God is doing in our lives. And so now we see the angel Gabriel, he comes and shares with Mary about something that God was going to do in her, about the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin A virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to the Savior. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Maybe somebody needs to underline verse 37. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." He is in your in-betweens. He is working on your behalf greater than you even know. See how God brings everything together? Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In the midst of life's questions, church, do you ever find yourself wishing that Gabriel would just show up and give you some good news? Like, okay, God, any day now, I really need to hear this. I mean, it'd just be easier, wouldn't it? God, just send your angel and tell me what to do. No, God says, no, you need to know my word, because I'm speaking to you not just from the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking to you from my word. I've made sure you know what to do. You just need to be a little attentive in what I'm saying and a little more hungry in trying to find it in my word. Because if you seek, you shall find. To him who knocks, it shall be given. Amen? Well, it would be easier. But in Mary's case, perhaps it would have been easier not to know. Think about this. Now, she knows the time that she lives in. For a young girl to be pregnant today is nothing in our society that's out of marriage. But in this day, this was life. She could be stoned. Joseph is told to put her away, to hide her, because it's going to be shame on him as well. And so it would be easier not to know. So what do you do with information like this? The angel says, "Hey, Mary, here's the deal. You're going to be pregnant with a child that didn't come the way that it usually comes on this earth. You're going to have to face things." Mary says, "Let it be unto me, as God says." Mary was given a direct message from the angel, but it took faith for her to place her trust and her hope in the Lord. It took faith to say, "I'm going to get some ridicule from where I live. My own family isn't going to believe this. There's going to be things that are going to happen." Nobody's thinking, "Oh, wait a minute, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child." Nobody's thinking about that when Mary's walking around pregnant. They're all thinking about, "Huh, liar, uh-huh." And she says, "Let it be unto me as the Lord says." Let's be thankful this holiday season, this Christmas season, this birth of Jesus season, that Mary responded to in faith. And she held fast to her hope of the promise of Emmanuel, of God, of Jesus being with us. And so today as we begin this Advent, or next week as it really comes, but today because of this message, we know and we hold fast to that same hope, the present hope. God, what you're doing now. God, you're active now. God, you're moving in this church now. God, you promised us. God, you said this. God, you're, and so we trust that you're going to move and do these things now because there's a present hope. Yes, we have the past hope. We know what Jesus did coming in the flesh. We have this present hope that Jesus is going to be with us. We have this present hope that he's never going to leave us, that he's never going to forsake us. We have this present hope that God is going to heal us, that God is going to speak over us, that God is going to be with us. Jesus has come, and Jesus has made a way for us to be one with God, and he has forgiven us of our sins. His coming changes everything. Amen? How many have found that to be true? His coming changes everything. As you sit here today, that present hope that you hold on to, it may not seem to be changing things. I've been there. God, I still hope in you. God, I still trust in you. Oh, but I still feel that. God, I still, my child's still going through that. God, but this is still happening. Listen, your heart and mind may be flooded with the concerns, may be flooded with the stresses, may be flooded with the hardships of life and the things that you face. Any signs of change in your circumstances sometimes are slim to none. Anybody been there? That doesn't mean change isn't happening. That doesn't mean God's promises aren't being fulfilled. That doesn't mean that God's not moving. It doesn't mean God isn't working behind the scenes. God isn't working inside other people. God isn't working in your situation. It doesn't mean he isn't working in your own heart and that he isn't working in the hearts around you and that he's not trying to teach you something and shape us into something. Regardless of what the out... Oh, there's breakfast. Just joking. Regardless of what outward results look like at any given moment, we can find hope in his words. Amen? Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Listen, you know what he says there? Our present hope is like an anchor. Where are you going to get this, church? Come on. I'm just real with you. You know what I'm saying? But I got to get the word done today. Our present hope is like an anchor. My wife and I love to watch Deadliest Catch. It's the crab fisherman. We've watched every season, I think, 21, 22 now. And we're just crazy about these men go out and do this. I mean, that they put their lives on the line. They fall overboard. They die. Whole ships have gone down, lost everybody. The Coast Guard can't always come out and get them because they're too far. We've seen choppers have to turn around because they're halfway through their gas. They can't get out to the boat. And we watch these things. But we've noticed this, that whenever a storm is creeping up, when these boats are out there, whenever a storm is creeping up and it's going to be a bad one, most of them will sail through storms. But when it's going to be a bad one, you know what they do? They go behind an island and they drop anchor. Because that ship will ride out the storm when an anchor can grab hold to something firm. That ship will be tossed in the waves. That ship, but it will always go with the way the wind is going, and it will ride out the storm. Listen, that's our hope. It's like an anchor that holds a ship steady. It's against the wind. It's against the waves. Our hope holds us firm. Our hope holds us secure in the midst of life storms. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, say amen. Praise God. Let this season be one of secure hope, dropping an anchor down into Jesus Christ and allowing Jesus to be the anchor that gets you through the storms that you face. Past hope, present hope. I promised you I wouldn't go too long. Hope future. While our focus leading up to Christmas is naturally on the birth of Christ and his arrival in our world, Advent is also about the future. Advent is not just about preparing our hearts for Christmas, but also preparing our hearts for when Christ comes again. Let me say that again. Advent is not just the Christmas season. It is about the return of Jesus Christ. And you may find that waiting patiently for the second coming of Jesus Christ was even harder than waiting for Christmas to come or the Jews waiting for the Messiah to come. We long for the time, don't we, when all will be restored. We long for the time when all will be made new. We experience the pain today. We experience suffering today. And we wait in eager hope of the future that God promised us. That is where our hope lies. That baby who was born in a stable in Bethlehem will return again and he will complete the work of God in our world. And so we wait and we place our hope in him for the past, for the present, and for the future. It's the bigger picture of our faith. It's the bigger picture of God's plan for our world. We're just living in the now, but we know there's a future. We know that God has a future plan. The Apostle Paul explained it this way in Romans 8:24 to 25. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still see hope for what? Why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. If I say, I hope I get married someday, what hope is that? I'm married to a very beautiful woman who's been with me for 30-something years. There's no sense in me getting married. I'm married already. That's not hope, right? But if I say, I hope for the day that all my grandchildren walk with Jesus Christ. I hope for the day that both of my sons serve Jesus Christ. I hope for the day that all my family knows Jesus Christ. I hope for the day that Jesus returns, the clouds part and comes down and Jesus comes back to this earth. I hope. See, that's hope and it's perseverance because I'm going to persevere with the knowledge that this is going to happen. Amen? It's hard to be patient. It's hard to wait. But I encourage you to lean on today and to unwrap the gift of hope in your life. No matter what the department store tries to tell you, Christmas has not yet arrived. This is Advent. This is a season of preparation. This is a season of waiting. This is a season of expectation. There is value as well as excitement in patient and expectant waiting. Listen, when I finally did get married, it was a joy in my heart because I had waited from a young age to do that. When we had children, oh my gosh, thought I died and went to heaven until they became teenagers. Then I wondered where I was, right? You know what I'm talking about. May this season of wonder, as you discover these gifts of Jesus, as you discover these gifts of Christmas, hope, love, joy, and peace, may it make a difference in your lives. May we be a different church because of it this holiday season, this Advent season. May we be different people because of the hope that Jesus has risen in our hearts. Amen.